Welcome to Lord of the Harvest. Everybody from the outer courts coming to the inner courts. Thank you. I'm going to open up with scripture. Matthew 13, 43, or 44, sorry. Matthew 13, 45, 44 and 45. So it's the parable. there was a man called Tim Keller. He's a pastor that passed away recently, and he had this one quote that I like to quote, and this is, it basically says, "We are more sinful than we can imagine, but we're also more loved than we can ever imagine as well." And a lot of people, you know, if you struggle with shame and things like that, it's good to be reminded of how much we're loved. And this is the scripture that I always read when I want to know, you know, or it just reminds me of God's love for us. And it says, it's a parable of the hidden treasures and the pearl. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovers a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." And that's a picture of Jesus on the cross, that when he sold everything for us. You know, he sold his life for us, his life on the cross. He died for us, you know, and that's, God found a pearl of great price in his kingdom, in his church, his body. You know, so if you ever think that you're not enough, or you don't, if you know your sin is weighing you down, you know, the Lord has paid a great price for you. Artwork is only worth what someone is willing to pay for. And look, guess what? God paid that great price for us. He paid a greater price than you can ever imagine. So you're worth more than you think you are. And thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would just reveal yourself today, Lord, in your church, in your worship, Lord, in your body, Father. And we just ask that you would just be in the midst of us. It says in your word, where two or more are gathered together, you are in the midst of us. You are in the midst of us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being in the midst of us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this is a time we celebrate and participate in communion. So if you don't have a little cup, they're on the back table there. Make sure you have one. Well, welcome, everybody. So glad everyone is here today. What a glorious day, right? And there's so many people in here. I appreciate so many things you do for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, thank you. the master here. So anyway, I am going to share communion prayer, I call it, but Pastor calls it the message. You know, I have been out of commission for a while. Ever since I fell, I have been a little weary about doing things. But Friday was the first day I went and subbed in months. And I was teaching in the afternoon, and all of a sudden appeared in front of me these two fourth grade boys, and they were holding some Italian ice. So Mary knows I can't refuse that, right? So he looked at me and he said, "Who are you?" He said, "You look familiar." And you know what? That stayed with me all night and all day yesterday. Who am I? Who am I? And then I felt like the Lord was saying, "Who are you? Who are you?" See, we can think we know God because we said Jesus once or twice in our life, but that doesn't mean you know God. In Luke 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." That's pretty heavy. "But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So we understand that. Like if you were here when Pastor Anthony was here teaching, he said that was the qualifier to get into heaven was, did you know Jesus? Did you really know Jesus? And he says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's pretty heavy. Sometimes we think if we can do miracles, God must know us. We must know God. But see, knowing God is based on one thing, a relationship with Him. See, you can do all kinds of things in the name of Jesus, but if you don't know Him, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. It will matter for the person that's dead that they prayed over me and I came to life again, sure. But that doesn't mean anything. See, we have to always put Jesus first. Now, when I'm driving here today, and you can agree with this, I see a lot of people that aren't in churches. They chose something other than church, whether it was their beds, which I can understand, whether it's watching TV, whether it's eating, whatever. They chose something rather than being here. We need to always put Jesus first. And not just put Him first, but love Him. So what is communion? We partake in communion every week here, which is incredible. A lot of churches don't do that. Because we are reminded that we are in a relationship with Him. You know, you can go to a gathering and there's a lot of people. You're not in communion. You can go to a football party and there's a lot of people. You're not in communion. But when you come here, when you're with Jesus, you're in a relationship, not only with Him, but with everybody else that's partaking in His body and blood. Right? So here we are. And every Sunday we participate in communion. And so some of you just know we do communion. We do communion. But now you know why. Because we want a deeper relationship with Him. You know, He went to the cross with joy in His heart so He would be reunited with His people. Sounds like me, right, Mike? And so he went to the cross with joy. How many of us can say that? Whatever we're going through, we accept it with joy. We don't. I don't, at least. I'm miserable. But Jesus was never miserable. And He died an incredible death for us. Incredible how He suffered for us. And yet He rose again. Joyful. He's always joyful. Always joyful. So if we're going to be like Him, we're going to be followers of Him, we need to, even in the midst of our trials, feel joy. So we're going to participate in communion now. And I hope that communion has taken on a new meaning for you. That it's not just about eating His body and drinking His blood, but it's about pairing up with Him. It's about loving Him. It's about communicating with Him and He with us. That's way different. Way different. So let's now get the wafer, His body that He joyfully gave for our redemption. We thank Him. We thank Him. And more importantly, Jesus, we ask that you know us and we know you. We pray that we're not one of those people that say, that you say to us, I never knew you. Lord, help us to fall in love with you every single minute of every single day, to follow you wherever you go. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we drink your blood that was shed for us. We just drink it in joy as you gave it in joy. Thank you so much, dear God. Thank you. Thank you for giving us opportunity to be with you, to know you, to be in relationship with you. Thank you, dear Jesus. Amen.
All right. Well, thank you, Jesus, for being here with us today, for your presence. And Lord, I just ask your Holy Spirit would just anoint this message, Lord, that you would fill in the gaps, Lord God, because, Lord, it's all about you. It's always about you. So thank you, Jesus, for that. I am so excited that Pastor Bird has been teaching on the Holy Spirit, you know, and I think there is really a crescendoing that's going to be happening as people are being filled with the Spirit, practicing his presence, and it will ignite something in those of us that have been around for a while, you know, and so I'm excited about that. So today I'm going to talk about some weird stuff about doors and knocking and kind of a lot of different things, but so I hope that the Lord fills in the blanks for you. But I'm going to start with Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and just read it to you. This is in the Old Testament. He has shown you, O mortal, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Now, this is the Old Testament, right? We know all through the Old Testament, humanity fell short and Jesus had to come on the scene, right? And see, Jesus personifies what is just. Jesus personifies what is merciful, and Jesus personifies humility and humbleness. And so if we know Jesus, we have a position that we are in where this is all fulfilled. We couldn't do it on our own as humanity, and the fact that Jesus came and did it for us means that we have an opportunity to step into that circle, according to Pastor Oz, and be in Christ, and to love mercy and justice, and to be humble. So isn't that great? It's all provided. It is finished, he said on the cross. So now I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And this is Jesus speaking. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and with that person, and they with me. Now we know that it has been spoken real recently about hearing God's voice. And the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. When Jesus is knocking, he is wanting something that was held sacred in ancient times, and that was to share a meal with someone. And so Pastor Jan referred to communion today about communion is not just the cup and the bread, that it is fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the lowly lamb and the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's awesome. And so as we practice it week to week, we are reminded to connect with Jesus and his body and be in that position of grace. Now, in this scripture, Jesus is knocking. See, the Lord Jesus is seeking entrance into his own church. Now, we see this scripture a lot in, you know, salvation messages and stuff, but it's really not for that. It's for his people. God is knocking. so that he may have entrance into his church. Now, in this day and hour, we know that there are a lot of places that he is locked out and only allowed a quick visit, maybe during worship or whatever, the message, but he is locked out of his own church. And that is the consequence of the mediocre messages and the polluted or stained gospel that is compromised in this hour. So, Jesus is seeking entrance into his own church. The Lord said in the word, "Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart." He is always speaking. You do know his voice if you are his sheep. Sometimes you may pretend that you don't. Maybe it's uncomfortable. Maybe it's a confrontational, right? But today God is speaking loud and clear to many of us in this hour to get it right and to get it together, right? To be a bride without stain, wrinkle, or blemish. And it's not possible. It's only possible because of Jesus. It's always because of Jesus. So let's talk about doors and knocking. In the Aramaic, knocking means like this image of a musical instrument that you strike to make a loud sound, like a drum or a cymbal or a soft harp. And the idea behind that is there are different types of knocks, right? When we were young, for those of you that are my age, I remember when we would visit one another, we would stand at the neighbor's door and we would sing their name. Janice, Janice, like come out and play. You see, when we think of God knocking at our door, he's doing it with pleasantness. He's doing it with love and sweetness. He wants to be with you. And so it's not a get it together all the time, right? Oftentimes the Lord comes in that sweet, harmonious, pleasant, merciful, loving, kind, gracious voice and knock. Sometimes Nick Fly, right? So the idea behind this is that there are different types of knocks. And I remember singing at the door of my friends, and it was an invitation. And see, God, when he knocks at the door of our church or our hearts, it's an invitation. It's an invitation for communion. It's an invitation for fellowship. He's just saying, look, I want to hang out with you. I want to be with you. Now, does that sound like, you know, the judgmental father that we get in our minds, you know, sometimes like, yeah, I just can't wait to get you kind of thing? And if you grew up that way, you may transfer those feelings onto the Lord. And so those are areas where God needs to heal you, right? And I will tell you that even after all these years, 55 years following the Lord on and off a few times, he still is the same. He still loves us. He still is kind and generous and wants the best for us. So now, in the old days, people were always knocking. Nowadays, they probably be texting, maybe use a telephone. But back then, there was always knocking. There is, and even growing up, there was always knocking. It was a neighborly custom to borrow or get a loan from things that we need or things that we needed, you know, spare us from going to the grocery store. When we were young, that's what we did. Most of us had one car in the home. You know, the dad is on the working and you're stuck alone and mom is making dinner or making a cake and she's like, oh, I don't have any eggs. And, you know, you go down the street and get your eggs and sugar from a neighbor and so on. And there was this communal exchange, you know. Now, the knocks were at the time recognizable. A beggar would gently tap a stick and they would be given a piece of bread. And that, of course, is the image of humility. A traveler or a religious or holy man would knock softly with his knuckles. Another image of humility. But the door was never open to a person with a bad reputation. The person with a bad reputation wanted to do you harm, right? They would knock hard. They would be violent. And isn't that how the enemy comes to us sometimes? Knocking hard, you're not nothing. Yeah. You're never going to amount to nothing. I mean, trying to enrobe you continually throughout your life with shame and condemnation. But that is not the knock of God at the door of our hearts. Not at all. Also, too, when we are wounded, we can feel a little uncomfortable when God comes to us, you know, because we have this image that we're in trouble. We're going to the principal's office, right? We're being called to the carpet. We have this image of God as being so stern. And yet when we read the Word of God, He's so amazingly loving and generous and abundant with His wealthy, wealthy, rich, burning desire and love for us. Now, some knocks were determined by the lack of force to know who was knocking. It's not violent. It's not hard. It's gentle. He's singing. He's standing. He's waiting. And you know, I don't know why we're so afraid of intimacy with Jesus. But we get that way. Maybe because we've been hurt in the past. You know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's because you're wounded. Maybe it's because you are assaulted by fear and words of condemnation, you know, those tapes that run through your mind. But after so many years, can I tell you, the devil is always going to be who he is. And Jesus is always going to be who he is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. One of the ways that you can really learn about his love for you is in the Word of God. In the Word of God, let it speak to you. Let his voice speak to you. Let him beckon you into his presence. And know that you have everything you need being positioned as a son or daughter of God. That in fact, your royalty. Do you ever walk around feeling like royalty? Most of us don't, right? We feel like schmucks most of the time. Anyways, the word again for knock, it's N-A-Q-A-S-H. And I don't know how to say that. But it's like playing a harp or like a violin. That's a sweet, emotive instrument, right? It's a calling by the Spirit of God as He works on our heart. And the right pressure produces the exact tone that God wants. There's the right pressure, whether it's a striking, feeling like a beggar, whether it's a knock, because you're doing fine with the Lord, like the holy man or the religious that are, you know, right with the Lord or whatever, you know. So in the scriptures, when it's talking about these things, the musician and the instrument are one. When you hear someone perform, you don't see them separate from what they're doing. They are one. They are married to that instrument, and it is impactful, you know? Now, Jesus, in Revelation chapter 3, he's knocking on the door of the church of Laodicea. And in there, he expresses his heart cry to the church. And we can be in all different places, but I'm going to focus on the church of Laodicea, because it's very appropriate for the nation that we live in as well. His very knocking is what we need as a church, what we're lacking. What are we lacking? We are independent and self-reliant as a nation, I'm talking about. And in the church of Laodicea, like Pastor Pam said earlier, you know, you got to know Jesus, right? Not know about him, but know Jesus. He is with the church in Laodicea. They were called poor, wretched, blind, and naked. See, all of those conditions are solutions that are in the heart of God for us. He does not want us to be poor. And you know what I mean by poor. I'm not talking financial. I'm talking empty, emotionally bankrupt, tormented in our minds, blind, not seeing things the way that they are, and naked, not clothed in his righteousness. We see ourselves that way sometimes, but the solution is in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus. And in Revelation chapter 3, he says to the church, be earnest and repent. See, repentance is not something that you always will feel. We get that wrong. I'm a very feeling person, and if I don't feel like I'm really sorrowful over sin, I don't feel like I repented. But really, repentance is just turning around and changing your mind and seeing things the way that they are, you know? It's not hard to repent. It's actually pretty easy, but we make it hard. We make it hard. Because we want to be self-reliant, right? We want to take matters into our own hands. And that's just part of our culture. And we have to resist our culture and walk in kingdom culture. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 7, the scripture is, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock. And the door will be open to you, for you, open to you, and for you. You ask, and you keep on asking. You seek, you knock at that door, and it will be open to you. Now, kind of weird. Jesus wants to enter into the door of his church, and we're called also to knock on a door. But really, what are doors? The doors are a person. The doors are Jesus. He said, he was the door. I am the door. Let me in. Hear my knock. Say, come on in. It goes both ways. That's what communion is. He's inviting you. You're inviting him. Walking with Jesus is a relationship. It is not a one-way, I'm going to give you my list and hope that you answer. No. It is listening. When we listen, listening in the scriptures is an attitude of obedience. To listen is really to act, to really hear. You know, a lot of times we listen, but we don't really hear. I know I do that with my husband a lot of times. He'll say, did you hear me? I'll be like, mm-hmm, yeah. What'd I say? I don't know. We do that with God, you know. Okay, so when Jesus says, I'm the door, let me in, hear my knock, come on, let me come on in, and I will eat with you. I will sup with you. I will have holy, sacred time with you. That's what communion represents. The relationship, intimacy. It's a sacred meal. And Jesus in that scripture also says, I've come that you may have life and that you would have it abundantly. He's not going to put out chips and dip. It's a feast when we have the presence of God. There are all manner of things for every single person to enjoy. Everything that is your favorite. Whatever it may be that you need. Maybe you need some mercy. The table is full. Maybe you need to forgive. The table is full. And when we eat at that table with Jesus, we eat in the presence of our enemies. Everything that opposes what God wants us to feast upon, abundant living, abundant life, it was spoken of today, joy, takes a minute to lose your joy sometimes, right? That's just temporary happiness. Joy is deep. It is in your very spirit that joy lives. And so when we live in the spirit, we live above our emotions, our thoughts, our circumstances, and all that, right? So, in the beginning, what I read was, he has shown you, O mortal, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Oftentimes we ask, what is the will of God? If you're seeking and if you're asking, can I tell you, if you're in communion with Jesus, you have no worries what is his will. He will show you. So, what I want to really stress today is that God, the King of the universe, wants to have a meal with us as a church. It's good individually, right? It's great. But as a church, when we take communion, we are coming to an extravagant table for us. And everything you need is right there. Because really, he is the bread, he is the water, he is the door, he is the shepherd, he is everything that you need. And that's all you need. It's all you need. All the other things fall into place, right? So with that, I'm going to ask Pastor if you still wanted to break up into groups today. Is that good? Okay, so we're going to do that. And we're going to pray with each other and have communion with each other. So real quick, grab 3 or 4 people and we'll pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day. Amen.